Well, good morning. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is and always will be the Christ. Please pray with me as we begin our time together. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of each and every one of our hearts will be good and pleasing in your sight. Our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Well, welcome to worship here today. We are so glad to have you here. As it was shared in the videos, we've got some fun events going on here after service and just, you know, an amazing time here in worship as we hear from God, hear what He has to say to us, and we are blessed to be in His presence and receive His body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And today we are continuing in our sermon series as we're talking about and looking at who God is and getting to know God better and finding out who He is and who He is for us. So far, we've talked about God's knowledge, we've talked about how He is all-knowing, and we've also talked about God's presence in our lives, the fact that He is always present and never leaves us and never abandons us. But today, I want to spend some time looking at God's power. We're going to look at God's power. Now, how many of you guys, you know, maybe you've heard the name, you've seen the TV show, the old TV show, Home Improvement with Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Anyone here? Yes, yes, thank you. And so if you've seen the TV show Home Improvement, you know Tim Allen was well known for his machismo line when he'd say, "More power." And he would always try and take a normal household item and soup it up and give it more power. And I still remember the very first episode of the show where he was talking to his wife, Jill, and she says, "Oh, make sure you wash the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher," because he was just putting them in the dishwasher. And he looks at her, he says, "So you're telling me I have to wash my dishes before I put them into a machine that washes my dishes?" And she says, "Yeah, completely, you know, normal." And he's like, "That's just not going to work." And so he soups it up and he like takes the engine or the motor out of like a Ford, you know, pickup truck or something like that and puts it into his dishwasher and soups it up and gives it more power. And he sticks it. He's like, "Okay, this has got, you know, enough power to drive a Chevy or a Ford." And he sticks his dishes in. And, you know, as often happens when he does things in his own power and his own ingenuity and his own strength, they backfire and things go wrong. And if you remember that episode, the backside of his dishwasher explodes, shooting dishes out into the living room. And he's got egg on his face, and his wife just looks at him like, "I told you so." Not that any of us have ever experienced that kind of a thing, but we as human beings can make some powerful things, can't we? We can do a lot of really great things with our ingenuity. We can, you know, display more power in our world a lot. You know, powerful toys like the horsepower of a Detroit, you know, classic muscle car that you hear rumble as you hear it drive for miles down the road as it's coming to your neighborhood, or powerful weapons like the U.S. Navy, like U.S. Navy battleships, or steel used to build some of the world's tallest skyscrapers and buildings in New York and Chicago and all over the world. But none of these are as powerful as our God who created the universe. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Today we're talking about the omnipotence of God. The word omnipotence, for those of you Latin scholars, is it's a combination word. The word omni meaning all, and the word potent meaning powerful. So all powerful. We're talking about God's all powerful nature. And what that means for us is that while cars break down and you have to take them to a service shop, while ships may sink, or even steel has its own breaking point, our God doesn't fail. And that means that it's just as easy for our God to create the universe out of nothing as it is for Him to hear and answer your and my prayers in the middle of the night. In Luke, it says, "All things are possible with God." And so today we want to ask the question, how do I get God's power in my life? First, though, let's take a look at some of the evidence of God's power. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 2 says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of his craftsmanship. Day and night, they keep on telling about God." I grew up in Southern California. And growing up down in Orange County, California, I was surrounded by the grandeur of the Sierra Nevada mountain range all around me. And I used to go to a summer camp up in Arrowhead and the Big Bear area. And I just love being near the mountains. I love hiking. I love the outdoors because of it. And one thing I realized is I took the mountains for granted. It wasn't until I moved to Houston, Texas, that I realized the state of Texas is a very flat state. In fact, we used to joke in Houston, the only mountains you had in Houston are the freeway overpasses and the skyscrapers in downtown Houston. But I remember vividly one night, as I was driving from Houston to Phoenix, I had just accepted a call to be a pastor here in Arizona, and I was all by myself in the car. My wife and daughter were back home trying to sell our house in Texas, and I was driving out near Van Horn, which is out in West Texas. It's kind of at the southern edge, I think, of the Rocky Mountains as it starts to go into Texas, and there I was driving through this flat state, and all of a sudden, as the sun was going down at sunset, I could see the orange and the purple sky. And the sun just went down behind the mountains. And it struck me, because I hadn't seen mountains in years. There in front of me, the sun is going down. This big ball of light is going down behind these mountains. And it brought a tear to my eyes, because it struck me how much I've missed those mountains all these years. And what it really struck me is that these mountains give me a grounding, a sense of security. They remind me that the same God who created those majestic mountains is the same God who watches over every day of my life. The same God who put those powerful mountains there. They are unmovable, unchangeable. It reminds me that our God is that unmovable and that unchangeable, and every hair on my head, every trouble that keeps me up in the middle of the night matters to him. And he's just as strong to ground me and give me security. And we not only look at the mountains in front of us, but we can also look at the life of Jesus. We see Jesus had power over nature. He calmed the storm. He told the waves. He was in a boat, and it was about ready to capsize because the wind and the waves. And his friends, who were fishermen by trade, I mean, they were used to the water. They were used to being out in storms, and they were panicking and terrified for their life. And Jesus wakes up from a nap. He was sleeping in a boat during the middle of a terrible storm, and he wakes up from his nap, and he just says, hey, knock it off. And it does. The wind and the waves die down. And his friends, these fishermen who'd been on the water since the day they were born, were marveled at the power that he had over nature. We see that he was able to calm the storm. He spoke to a tree, and it withered. He healed the blind, the sick, and the lame, and he even raised people and was raised from the dead. You see, not only does God have power over the elements and over the physical things in our world, but he even has power over death and our enemy, the devil. In Ephesians 1, verse 20, it says, "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." But here's the question. We see his power all around us, but how do I tap into that power in my own life? Well, in the Bible, God gives us four secrets on how we can appropriate or tap into his power into our own lives on a regular basis. And so the first one is, you admit your lack of power. Now, that may seem counterintuitive. Okay, I want power, so I admit my lack of power, huh? Wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. But you think about it. I have to empty my tank before my tank can be filled. I have to humble myself before God. I have to admit that I don't have it all together. Now, why is that so important? Because one of our major problems, it's a problem that every human being ever since Adam and Eve has had. We think that we are omnipotent. We think that we are all powerful. And you might say, no, I don't really think that. I know I'm not. I know that's not true. But really think about it. When was the last time you asked someone for help? When was the last time someone offered to help you and your answer was, no, I'm good. I got this. Men, when was the last time you pulled over and asked for directions? Now, the good news is we all have these little babies, so I don't have to pull over and ask for directions anymore. It looks like I know where I'm going because my phone tells me where to go. But really, I'm just asking for directions the whole time I'm using it. But anyway, don't tell my wife that. Oh, wait. We foolishly think that we can handle everything, don't we? We think that we can do everything. We try and cram 40 hours of activities and music lessons and dance lessons and sports and school and work and family time and dinner and all that stuff into 24 hours every single day. We try and balance everyone else's expectations and carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And then if we don't do it perfectly, what happens? We start to shame ourselves. We start to guilt ourselves for not being Superman. Oh, I should have done that better. I should have been able to do, I should have been able to spin all those plates. I should have been able to say yes. I should have. And God says to us, I need you to admit that you need me. He tells us we need to wake up to our limitations. We need to realize that we're not God. We need to realize we can't control everything and that we're human and we have weakness and we have frailties. We have to realize that maybe you're getting older. Maybe if you're like me, my knees are hurting when I go for a run now when they didn't do it a couple of years ago and I can't bench press as much as I used to be able to. And here's the question. So you say, okay, Pastor, you're telling me I got to admit that I'm weak. Now what? Okay, so I say I'm weak. I admit that I'm powerless. What do I do then? Here's the beautiful thing. The Apostle Paul tells us exactly what to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he says, God said to me, where there is weakness, my power is shown more completely. Therefore, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weakness, because my weakness means a deeper experience of Christ's power. For my very weakness makes me strong in him. The Apostle Paul says, I will be proud of my weakness. Hold the phone. That's downright un-American, isn't it? I mean, come on. I mean, we're the ones who pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're the ones who, come in early and stay late. We're the ones who talk about that quarterback as he's the guy who's the first one in the locker room in the morning and the last one to leave. He's the one who does everything that needs to be done. We'd rather carry everyone else's stuff. We hate failure. We hate weakness, and we don't want to admit we have any of it to anyone. Busyness is a virtue. Doing too much and trying to keep everything going, we feel, makes us holy. We want our boss, our coworkers, our spouse, and our kids to think we've got it all together. We want everyone to think we're strong, capable, and holding everything together by our own might. Paul says, I should be proud of my weakness. That doesn't make sense. Maybe you've seen the movie Spider-Man, the old school movie Spider-Man or the new one, and we've got a picture here of what it might feel like when you're holding everything together. If you've seen the movie, you know that Spider-Man's trying to pull together a ship here, and he's trying to save everyone. He's trying to be the guy who rescues everyone. He's got problems in his own life, but he's trying to rescue everyone. But when you zoom in and you see the look on his face, he's in agony. He's dying. If you know the story of Spider-Man, you know that with great power comes great responsibility. And the question is, what happens to us when that responsibility is tearing us apart. You see, I don't like to share power. If I have it, I don't need God. If I have it, I don't need you. I don't need anyone else. If I've got power, I'm good. I can take care of myself. But the problem is, I don't have as much power as I like to think I do. God says, stop trying to do my job for me. Stop trying to hold the world together and save everyone for me. Stop trying to be God. You see, once I give up my desire to be in control and I make room for Christ's power, the Apostle Paul tells us that we can be thankful for our weaknesses, because when we are weak, he makes us strong, because he is strong. And when I come to him in humility, it drives me to the foot of his cross to seek his love, his grace, his mercy, and his power. The second thing we have to do to get that power in our own lives, after we admit our weakness, is we have to believe in faith. The key to God's power in our life is faith. In Mark 9:23, Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus says again, according to your faith, it will be done for you. The word faith basically means, once you've come to that point of admitting that everything is that you don't have the power going on, when you realize you're weak and broken, who do you trust to take care of things? Who do you trust? Who do you trust is going to be in control? Who do you trust to keep the world spinning? So let me ask you two vital questions. One, what are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you expecting God to do in your life? And number two, what are you expecting God to do through your life? What do you expect God to do through your life? You see, the real issue is our faith. How much do I really trust him? How much do I really trust God to be God? How much do I really trust God to be in control? How much do I really trust that God actually loves me and wants the best for me? Third is, once we believe, we speak then in faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, with the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. A few years ago, I was dealing with a personal hurt in my life and a wound that I was going through. And a pastor once asked me, do you forgive this person for what they've done for you or to you? And I said, trembling, yes, I think so. He said, you don't really sound like it. I said, well, you're right. I guess I don't. He said, okay, good enough for me. He said, do you want to forgive them? I said, yes, I think so. He said, okay, if you want to forgive them and you want to let go of this bitterness and this hurt and this pain that's killing you on the inside, for the next 30 days during your devotional time, I want you to verbally say a prayer for this person. I want you to ask God to bless them. I want you to ask God, after all that they've done to you, I want you to ask God to bless them. I want you to ask God also to give you the strength to forgive them and to turn them from the things that they're doing to hurt themselves and you. And I want you to finish your prayer by saying, Lord, I forgive them. And so I did. Over and over, day after day, for those 30 days, I started with some timidity in my voice, or a lot of timidity in my voice. Lord, bless them today, maybe. Lord, I forgive. Give them today? And I said it over and over and over. And I trusted that God would do what I was too weak and powerless and unable to do. I trusted that God would bless them. And I trusted that God would work on my heart and make me a new creation and create in me a clean heart, so that I could do what I was powerless to do, and I could forgive that person the way he calls me to. and the way he wants me to, and the way he has forgiven me for all the sins that I've committed. And because of the blood of the Lamb, and because I verbalized those words over and over and over and trusted that he was going to do that work in me, God did that work in my heart. And what was impossible in my strength, again, as the Apostle Paul said in that verse earlier, through his strength became possible in my life. The fourth thing that we see that we do is not only do we speak in faith, but we act in faith. We live in faith. Our faith motivates what we do, much like the illustration I just used about praying and talking differently. We also live differently. There's an old saying that goes, fake it till you make it, right? You've all heard that. Maybe you've said it to someone. Usually we use the phrase fake it till you make it when you're doing something that you're uncomfortable with. Maybe there's a learning curve. Maybe you started a new career or a new job, or you're doing something different and you're uncomfortable and you don't know what you're doing, and you just say, just fake it till you make it, and eventually you'll catch up with that learning curve and things will be fine. And there is some truth to that in the world we live in. We do have to do that a little bit, but usually when we talk about faking it till we make it, or a lot of times when we talk about it, we're talking about keeping the facade going, aren't we? We're talking about wearing that mask and pretending everything's all right. We talk about, pretending, and it keeps us from asking for help when we need it. It keeps us trusting in ourselves rather than putting our trust in God or others. And it keeps us living in a lie. But at some point, we have to live as if our life is better in Jesus's hands than it is in mine. At some point, we have to trust that God truly does mean what he says, and that God truly does love us, and that God truly does want the best for us, and that all things work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so, for example, take your offerings that you give here in church on a Sunday morning, for example. Jesus tells us that God is like our Heavenly Father, and he loves us, and he wants to bless us, and he's got it all under control. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer that we pray on Sunday mornings, what do we say? We say, Lord, I trust that you're going to give me this day my daily bread. I trust that he's going to give me this day my daily bread. And that's why in the Old Testament, he talks about doing something called a first fruit offering. In the Bible, he doesn't want the people of the Old Testament adding up their bills and saying, okay, now that I've added up my bills, I've got enough to pay all my bills, now I'm going to make an offering to God and I'm going to give to God what's left. No, he says, instead, I wanted you to do this. And he says, I want you to take those crops and the first fruits that you got, I want you to give me an offering from what I blessed you with in that first fruit, and then pay your bills and then take care of the rest of stuff, because I want you to trust that when you give this, I will give you this day your daily bread, and I will take care of you, and I will bless you, and I will watch over you. And he wants them to trust him first and know that when they do what he says, he'll provide all that they need. You see, it's never about the money. It's always about trust. It's always about faith. Sometimes people say, I'll read my Bible, or I'll pray when I feel like it, or I'll read my Bible when I have enough time to read my Bible, or I'll pray when I have enough time. But the problem is, like a first fruit offering, if we say that, we'll never have the time. The enemy, Satan, will make sure that you never feel like doing it, and he'll make sure that you never have the time to do it if we don't make that commitment to follow God. I once heard a slogan that from a local HVAC company. I was driving down the freeway and I saw this billboard from one of our local HVAC companies, and it said, doing what's right, not what's easy. Doing what's right, not what's easy. You see, trusting God isn't easy, especially if it means giving something up, sacrificing, or taking a chance and speaking out when it's unpopular. You need to do those things that you know are right, even when you don't feel like it. I love Pastor Mike. One of the things he talks about is how feelings make terrible decision makers. Going by feelings is a terrible way to make decisions in our world. And one of the things I've heard him say, is immaturity is living by your feelings, but maturity is living by your faith. Immaturity is living by my feelings, but maturity is living by my faith, living by who I trust and trusting that God's got it under control, even when it doesn't feel like he does. You see, just like Tim the Toolman Taylor got in trouble when he tried to use his own ingenuity and his own smarts and his own power to give more power to the things in his life, our feeble attempts to build our own little kingdoms and hold on to power that we have will backfire as well. And when you begin living in faith more and more in your life, then you'll see that the blood of Jesus reminds you that you're forgiven and you're loved by an amazing, powerful God. But it also reminds you that with God, there's power that makes the impossible things in our lives possible as well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just give us your strength. I pray that in each day that you would humble us, let us come to you humbly, knowing who we are and whose we are. Lord, I pray that as we draw near to you, as we come to you and seek your will, not ours, as we seek your strength, not ours, Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with your love, fill us with your grace, fill us with your mercy, forgive us, and give us your power and your strength to live out each and every day for you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all God's people say, amen.